Yeah. Simple things. Music keeps us alive. Dancing sets our hearts free. Well, my first artists are going to tell you a little bit more about that, but first I want to welcome you. This is Carol. Happy to be here on this exquisite day in Astoria at KMUN. Arts Live and Local from the parking lot with Nevada in the studio. That'd be Nevada. So, thanks for being here, folks. We are so, so fortunate to have our very own community radio station through thick and thin. And right now, sometimes it's thick, sometimes it's thin, just like life. So stay with us. Remember, Monday starts the pledge drive, and we need, want, and love your support. More on that next week. Right now, I want to send a shout out to all my listeners, especially Squamish and Sechelt in Wyoming, Nova Scotia and Gatineau, and New York City, East and West. Happy birthday this very day to Lynn Smith, 80 years old. Who'da thunk it? And in a few days to Michelle, 88 years old, same day and year and hometown as Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I've been wearing my RBG face mask these last few days in honor of her birthday, with thanks to Lena, Zahara, and Stephanie, and Al for my birthday gift. Happy birthday to Tony as well. And happy birthday to you, if it happens to be your birthday. Special healing wishes to Josh, Michelle, Frederica, and Ben Frederica, and to all in need of healing, body, mind, spirit, and heart. And as we always say, on this show at least, that art heals. And we just heard it in Libby Roderick's song, Low to the Ground. And now I have a couple of artists, Portland artists, who are creating their own version of what art is doing in this day. Todd Molinari and Francis Dott, I just saw them actually about an hour ago. They were working, building their assemblage installation with multimedia objects at the Astoria Visual Arts on the corner of 10th and Duane, in that beautiful blue building that shines in the sun. And they wrote, exploring intense redefinitions of spaces that began in 2020. How we relate to places, objects, other people is undergoing a radical shift. So welcome, Francis. Hello.
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for having me on.
Good. You sound good. And Todd Molinari, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Carol. Oh, thanks for having me on.
Great. You both sound terrific. And that's a good thing, because you're going to do almost all the talking, because the name of the show is spelled in the Greek fashion, I believe, Apocalypsis and Uncovering. So welcome to KMUN. Welcome to Astoria. And please tell us what that means to you, to the world, and what are you doing? And I'll let the two of you talk. I'll slip in with questions, and you can ask each other questions or add to each other's comments.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. I'll start us off with this, then Todd, jump in.
Sure.
As I'm going, our title of the installation show, Apocalypsis, was chosen because it's the, you know, or the root of where our sort of current, the vernacular word apocalypse comes from. But the more literal definition of apocalypse is an uncovering. And Todd and I wanted to explore this idea of how apocalypse can mean many different things, maybe, you know, several different things all at once. Whereas it could be, you know, in a biblical sense, apocalypse, you know, it's sort of a fiery end of the world scenario. But we were sort of taking an approach of thinking about apocalypse as sort of more part of ongoing cycles,
mm-hmm.
and an opportunity to think about rebirth in a way,
mm-hmm.
so in cycles of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, you want to add to that?
No, and I think it just got to build on what Francis and that term really came from Francis after we had a number of discussions on the installation that was you know, arranged with AVA, which we're very grateful of them giving us this opportunity to mm-hmm. do this installation. And even though there are discrete works of art, we really looked at it from the beginning as how to envision an installation that is a whole, a piece that's composed of these different arrangements and assemblages. And it was part of this conversation with the apocalypse that Francis came up with, that in light of COVID, that really kind of changed so much. And one of the things we focused on was just how it changes perceptions or changes velocities or speeds of our time, our mm-hmm. relation to each other, to spaces,
mm-hmm.
and look at apocalypse, yeah, kind of that more original sense of it's a change of era, and it's not maybe just a change of era, but it's also kind of a change of us, and or it gives individuals, communities, a time to re-envision, to take pause, to take a look at things that maybe we need to let go of or say goodbye mm-hmm. to and leave to the side, and what are things that are open spaces that is a metaphor that we can possibly embrace. So it's, a lot is about freedom. It's about reimagining our own time, how we could have different trajectories into the future, and that the assemblage, the installation, is an invitation to kind of ponder these questions.
Good, good. This is perfect because it allows me to ask you, since I have never met either of you until today, and that briefly, can you each tell us a little bit about yourself as an artist? And when you talk about changing and perhaps refocusing, let's find out from where. And I really appreciate that you're talking about the space and time factors, because I know all of us, I suspect everyone has felt that, this fluid time and literal change in space being, you know, kept in your own isolation or community or whatever it is. But let's go back to who you are.
Yeah, okay, well, maybe Francis, you want to take that first?
Sure, I'll start. I am originally from the East Coast, mm-hmm. I attended art school in Boston for a year before taking off for a long time. I moved to Oregon about 16 years ago, and I completed my BFA with a focus in ceramics at the Oregon College of Art and Craft.
Mm-hmm.
In Portland, and my background is in ceramics. I started as sort of in my late teens and in my 20s working as, I thought I wanted to be a production potter, but as soon as I discover sculpture. I was kind of like, okay.
Wait, let me quickly ask, production potter, that sounds like almost an assembly line. I'm sure that's not quite what it means, but what does that mean?
Well, and I say production potter, I'm not even sure if that's the right term for it. I think of an individual person who is a potter in their studio who makes dinnerware, mugs, and just sort of produces a lot of, same items for sale.
Right. But then how did the sculpture come in then?
When I was in college, when I was studying at Oregon College of Art and Craft, and which was a very sort of traditional craft-focused school, so there were I was going to school with a lot of potters. But I took a sculpture class, and that really opened up.
Wow. Do you think that, was it the material? Did the teacher have anything to do with it? What was it that grabbed you? Because that happens to some people and not to others.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. See, I think it was a combination. It was the material. And I think there was just sort of a lot that I didn't realize that I wanted to express, in a storytelling fashion, to be able to sort of build narratives and environments and things that people could interact with in this way that wasn't necessarily functional, like pottery is.
Right. Well, and are we going to see some of that in this show?
Well, funny enough, I haven't worked with clay in probably in a number of years, and I have actually moved into more mixed media sculpture, which is what folks will see at Astoria Visual Arts in the show.
What materials? What media?
I work mostly with found materials, so a lot of found objects that I modify. I use a lot of the same tools that I use when I work with clay, and a lot of sort of plaster and acrylic paste to modify these found materials. And I shifted into this building more assemblages just sort of out of necessity because I was no longer working in a clay studio.
Right.
And I actually stopped making artwork for about 5 years. I didn't make anything at all.
Wow. How did that feel? Was that a vacation or was that a deprivation or both?
I think it was a little of both. I don't know if I would change it. I think a lot of it had to do with just a lot of exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having a hard time finding my footing in the community as an artist and, you know, trying to work as a teacher and, you know, being an artist is it's a really hard job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just needed some distance from that to really think about that. And I saw some work at a museum out in Western Massachusetts that just made me feel this sense of wonder and curiosity. And that particular visit was really what sort of kicked me back into, I was like, wow, I got to start making stuff again so I can help people feel stuff like this.
That's terrific. That is, I couldn't, you know, I mean, if that's not a sales pitch for seeing art, I don't know what is. So let me mention now, and then we're going to hear from Todd, that the reason they're here is that their show is opening tomorrow, and that is part of Astoria Second Saturday Art Walk. And these days, instead of it's just being in the evening, it's all day. So you can wander over there. It's 1000 Duane Street, or Duane and 10th, basically. And Art Walk is taking place from noon until 8 p.m. So it's all day tomorrow. And hopefully I'll have time to run through some of the other galleries Well, I have another guest from another gallery, but otherwise there's 13 taking part. So, okay, Todd, what's your art background?
And before I start, maybe I could mention, by the way, Francis is an incredible ceramicist, too. that's a whole other series of shows, I'm sure, but I'm just saying that as a plug.
Okay, so Francis is still doing...
I started out as... Yeah. I'm sorry.
Just, go ahead.
I started out as a painter for many years. I still consider myself a painter as kind of a base, and I had... Originally from Portland, I had studied a post-baccalaureate degree in fine arts at PNCA, which is one of the art schools in Portland. And then by happenstance, and it was kind of a long story, but I ended up completing undergrad studies at University of the Arts in Philadelphia. And then since then, I've been actually finishing off my MFA at San Francisco Art Institute. And it was really when I was at University of the Arts that was kind of a pivot point for me, in the sense that I've been painting for many years and saw myself as a painter and did painting exhibitions, et cetera. But I really kind of moved more into installation, performance art, different ways of showing art that would be kind of more as an assemblage of different discrete objects or pieces. Some of it's time-based, some of it's objects-based, some of it's body-based. There's kind of a conceptual aspect to it, mm-hmm. or an engagement, an interpretive, kind of open to interpretation. So I've kind of moved more into that, but there is always kind of, I want to say maybe painterly, but kind of a scenographic or kind of a scene-setting aspect to my art that is an invitation to enter into physical space, and then also kind of a metaphorical, I call it kind of a soul space or a metaphorical space or a thought space. So that's that's been kind of developing in terms of my practice. And right now I work in many different media. So you'll see some of the stuff in the show today, which would be, or tomorrow, which would be panels that have resin pours on them. There's a large Van Dyke print, which is a type of early form of photography, and that was developed in tandem with my discussions and preparations with Francis for the show. But it also kind of harkens back in an interesting way to kind of that story and its roots, you know, because it's the 19th century, and the form of photography comes from that time, but then it kind of points to the future because there's kind of an ephemeral, liminal space kind of aspect to that type of early form of photography. I do metal smithing as well, sculpture. I've gotten into sculpture. And so it's kind of like whatever media I need, you know, video even, film, that I need, if you will, to transmit or communicate what I want to say. And I think too, just in terms of background, you know, for me it's been kind of, a lot of transformations in my life, and I think right now is a time of transformation and kind of a turning of corners, and I think a lot of it has to do with COVID, but I could see where those aspects and factors were already kind of present before COVID, but they were kind of accelerated, if you will, or intensified. So I think in many ways my collaboration with Francis has been, you know, a very important aspect of that. And I should mention as well that Francis and I are also collaborators in a co-op art space in Portland that actually is going through a transformation. It was known under another name, Third Room Art Space, for the last three or so years. And we have a group of artists, including ourselves, who, you know, will stage exhibitions that will curate and help develop artists. And it's really kind of dedicated to showing art and artists, artist-centric, for artists to really kind of take risks, emerging younger artists.
Nice.
And we're kind of restructuring it right now, but there's kind of a lot of parallels with ABA in that regard. So we're very much involved in the Portland art community that way, not just showing art, but also we actually have a space where we exhibit art for other artists and curate it.
Are there some websites that people could go to see either what you're just talking about, the art space, or Todd and or Francis, do you have your own site that folks can see what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell you. So it's for mine, and it's actually talking about transformation. It's still under construction, but it's www.todd-molinari, my last name, M-O-L-I-N-A-R-I, .format.com. So it's todd-molinari.format.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
yeah. Yeah, Francis.
Francis, do you have something?
Yeah, I have an Instagram page right now that is mostly sort of pictures and videos of my studio work.
Mm-hmm.
And that is on Instagram, Francis.studio, which is
okay. And
so
Francis.studio.
Yes,
is that right?
And that's Francis with a C-I-S.
Yes, it's Francis. These guys, their spellings are rather interesting. This is a woman named Francis, but she spells it with an I, and her last name is Dot, spelled like the word dot, unlike our programmer Jim Dot, who spells it with two T's. And Todd, don't even ask. You'll talk to him tomorrow. So, quick question. Did you each do your own work? Did you collaborate on any particular work or in putting the whole show together?
Well, we collaborated from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
I can say there are some pieces that we're kind of we're working on individually at different times, but really, I mean, I say speak for myself, but I think it was really just collaboration from the beginning, and so really working through all the pieces from beginning to the end, it was really the fruit of just ongoing collaboration, work, studio visits. We do, of course, in the middle of the pandemic, we do Zoom calls, and we were regularly discussing, planning, talking about it, and making work and showing each other kind of what we're working on.
So
I
suspect that you might recommend collaboration. Can you give us, why might people who ordinarily, especially in these times, work alone, why might collaboration be a good idea?
Good question. I don't know. You mind me taking a ride, Francis, if you want to answer that?
I think that, and I'm very much a person who, I like to work alone. I like to be alone. I enjoy my own company. And I have learned, that this sort of collaboration, while it might feel out of character, I just sort of initially, it brings so much to the surface. Or I know in my own process, like in the studio, just even having dialogue with, another artist,
mm-hmm.
A friend or a colleague about what they see in your work, what it brings up for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much that, you sort of, it's kind of like, when you're so close to something, when you're working on your art, that, maybe something that's really obvious to someone else, you're completely missing it, and that might be something really important. So I think there's that aspect
mm-hmm.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and Todd and I both, we sort of have, we collaborated on one piece that I built the form, or I guess while this whole show is an installation and a collaboration, sort of the individual objects, I would call them, are, we made individually,
mm-hmm.
Save for one piece, which, yeah, there's just so much, such an exchange of ideas, and you don't have to be an expert on everything, because that's like, or, even good at everything, because that leaves space for other people to come in
right.
and do what they're
nice.
Good at.
Nice.
Yeah, I would say, kind of chime in on that, I would say that it's, I don't know if Francis would agree with this, but I think there's a part of us in each other's work, where, you know, I think that's the really kind of, there's a generative aspect to doing collaborative work as an artist, because mm-hmm. there's a kind of the sense of you come out of yourself, it is you, but then your work is not just your work, it's also the one that you're collaborating with. So I mm-hmm. could say that it's really kind of this, I don't know, kind of symbiosis, but there's the strengths as well as the working throughs of the process, and so it's really part of both of you or whoever is doing mm-hmm. the collaboration. Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, I find is interesting, and I don't know, maybe it's just going to talk about, like, how that, you know, this kind of came about where we're working together, is just that on one hand, you could say it was kind of random where we, you know, met each other and got to know each other as friends and colleagues in the Portland art community. But there's, you know, this aspect of collaboration. Maybe there's something just kind of, I think about in hindsight, is that, wow, you know, my art would not have developed or gone in the direction it would have without this kind of, just without this relationship or this collaboration. And it's,
yeah.
There's something, yeah, mysterious about it, of, you know, why two artists come together, and it, maybe it's not so much figuring out why, but it's just entering into that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, kind of unique and special, and sometimes things just happen like that, and it really, you kind of click, and you have aspects of the art that really resonate with each other, mm-hmm. and I don't know, that's kind of what I found.
Yeah, I think we only have a minute or two left, so I'm thinking,
sure.
I'm almost hearing the two of you resounding trust as well as part of this.
Yeah.
So, which I love. Okay, if you can do this in a very short time. Okay, so 2020 happened, redefinitions of spaces. In your write-up, you talked about tree rings and time leaving its mark. How do you think that is going to work? How is art going to leave its mark on this year, this era, this time? Sorry, I know that's a big subject. Just.
Boy, I really think it's a time where art is going through a process of change, and I don't know what the future is going to bring, but I already see, and I see at least our collaboration as one initiative, one trajectory of what art can be. But I think art is going to change, and already has begun to change from what it has been. And not just the art forms, but just how artists work with each other. And I think trust is a big thing, and I think it has a lot to do with community and supporting each other. So even if they're not working on particular projects together collaboratively, like we're doing here in the installation, that there's more of a kind of a bonding or kind of a support. I see mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. Which is very important. Could be a very important, I can see as an important factor in art in the future, instead of only being working in isolation. So that's kind of my go-to thing.
How about you, Francis?
Yeah.
Francis?
I hope it's sort of getting back to the idea of breaking out of, you know, sort of figuring out what we want to leave behind. And I think I'd like to leave behind this idea that art is only for a select group of people who have the money to buy it. Art really is for everyone, whether you make it or you look at it. I would like, you know, as we're sort of entering this new time, it's an opportunity to think differently about, how we value artists mm-hmm. and how we value our own experiences of art.
Because mm-hmm.
It truly is everyone,
nice.
Regardless of your background.
Yeah. And you started when you talked about going from functional art to sculpture. You said you discovered you had a lot to say, a lot to express, and there's the art. And whether people call themselves artists or not, a lot of it is the creative process, isn't it? So thank mm-hmm. you both. This is wonderful.
Oh,
Francis Dott with a FRANCISDOT, and Todd Molinari, TODD, sometimes MOLINARI. Do stop by the Astoria Visual Arts. And am I right that the installation will stay up after the opening? It's not just tomorrow, right?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's up until April 3rd. So
great.
You got till the first of the first part of April.
Great.
April 3rd when it closes. Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
if you
come
can't,
on by.
It's more fun tomorrow because you get to meet Todd and Frances. Mm. But if not, at least get by. And it's a wonderful space and very light. And you can also peek in windows. Thank you so much for being here on Arts Live and Local. And congratulations on the show.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Take care. And folks, you...
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Arts Live and Local here on KMUN Astoria, 91.9, 89.5 in Tillamook. And I am so happy to have you here. This is Carol. And I have some more guests coming on. I do just want to remind you, noon to 8 tomorrow is Art Walk. Also happening tonight at the AVA, except it's not in the physical space. It's on Zoom, is an artist talk. And that is at 5:30. It's our artist in residence, local Astoria, Deanna Anthony, community conversation. So if you go to AstoriaVisualArts.org, you can find out everything that's happening there. 5:30 is the artist talk, and then tomorrow all day is Art Walk. And there are 13 galleries. Another one of them is coming up soon. Also tonight from 5 to 10 and tomorrow from noon to 10 is the Sou'Wester Art Week in C.V. Washington, decentralized, staggered, open air studios and installations, performances and screening. And that's all over on 38th Street in Seaview, Sou'Wester Lodge. And now I have some music for you from one of my favorite performers. And Katie Lang is coming up, and you'll find out why this song in a minute. Thanks, folks. Hey, that was Katie Lang, Damned Old Dog, from an album called Tame Yourself from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Well, I've got a couple of guests coming up who certainly believe in that and how the arts can benefit that cause. And I myself am 150% behind him. So, Kenny, are you there? Kenny Schmoker?
I am.
Hey,
hi.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Nice
Carol.
To meet you, Kenny. Yes. And Kenny is an artist. She's a student at Clatsop College with Kristen Schock. And Dulcie Taylor, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, good. Dulcie Taylor needs no introduction locally, however, for those of you listening in France and Nova Scotia and, who knows where, I'm not even sure, Hong Kong perhaps, Dulcie Taylor is an artist herself. She is also the owner of Old Town Framing, which does do framing. In Astoria, it's a wonderful store. She also supports many causes and creates many outrageous events in this town and created a gallery space. And that's where Kenny and Dulcie come together. Because tomorrow, again, as part of Astoria Art Walk, is a show called It's Raining Cats and Dogs. This is the third annual benefit that Old Town Framing is putting on for the Clatsop Animal Assistance, which supports the local county animal shelter in Warrington. And I'm not sure how this came about. Dulcie, did you come up with this idea, or how did you?
No, this was Kristen Schock's idea.
Oh, there she goes again.
Our student or a student idea.
Mm-hmm. Very, from the beginning, so they asked you whether they could have a show?
Yeah, for some years we've been putting up either student art shows or artwork from the community college. So when Kristen came up with this brilliant idea, or whoever came up with the brilliant idea, it was perfect. It's a great show to have up. It's great to see the different interpretations of artists and animals, and it's for a good cause. So, yeah, I was all in.
Yeah, that's terrific. And this is, if I understand correctly, Kenny's going to tell us this, local shelter dogs and cats. Is that correct, Kenny?
Yes. So the local animal shelter here in Clatsop has posted photos, like portrait photos, of all the adoptable pets that are here available locally. And so we go on their website, and each student picks any portrait they want, whether a dog, cat, and we complete the project. We paint them. They turned out absolutely gorgeous.
Mm.
We take them on down to Old Town Framing. And from there, all the profits go 100% back into the our community here at the animal shelter, which is good for the pets. You can adopt a piece of art, and if you were so in love with it, you can adopt a lovable pet that looks identical to the piece of art that you bought.
I did not realize that was the process. I thought you guys went over to the shelter and hung out. And I was wondering, how do you do that? Because you can't keep these animals still. So now I know the posters that we have all over town. Who did you choose, Kenny?
I chose a cat named Layla.
Is it a representational? Did you try to make it as close to what the cat actually looks like, or did you put all kinds of weird things on it, or what?
No, I tried to make it as realistic as possible, with the help of my good and great teacher Kristen. Who, yes, I do believe is responsible behind the origin of this It's Raining Cats and Dogs event. And it's absolutely just terrific. You can fall in love with art, then you can fall in love with a friend. I just think that's absolutely adorable. And it all goes into our community. It's not, none of the proceeds go back to the art department. It's for the animals, 100%.
It's wonderful. This is definitely a community event. So tell us about you. Are you a regular student? We've never met, Kenny and I. Dulcie and I have met maybe once or twice, or
maybe
100 or 200 times, something like that. But Kenny, I haven't met you, although I must say I did just see a couple of pieces of your art. I went up to the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery because I wanted to look at the fabulous the cinnamon buns boxes that are up there.
Cinnamon boxes.
Yes.
That we had painted. Yes. That was another really great fundraising event.
And that is still
came out of the gallery.
It's still going on, the creative community connections in the time of COVID. And that is a benefit for the Clatsop County Food Bank. And so I highly recommend, folks, that you go up to the college and see this exhibit. You can also find the pictures online, but it is quite a show. Very impressive. So have you been working in the arts for a long time? What do you take at the college? Are you a full-time student? Tell us who you are.
Currently over COVID, I'm working as a part-time student. By trade, I'm a psych student, but I've always had a deep appreciation for the arts and generally More recently, I've been active in the community with it again. In fact, I've had some of my art shown before at Old Town Framing when I was in high school.
Ooh.
So, wait. Yeah, it's...
Does that mean you... Did you grow up here in Astoria?
I'm a transplant. I moved here in my freshman year, and then I graduated in... I should have graduated in 09, but I graduated in 2011.
Okay. So
I left for a little bit, and then I came back. So I've been back, and I started going to Clatsop in fall of 2019.
So what was the show at Old Town Framing back when you were in high school? What was that? You remember?
I know that it was part of Mr. Cherugino's art class at the time. Definitely in the first couple years of him taking over the art department after Miss Spann had left and retired. And I've done some other things art locally, like my senior project. Myself and another student, Miranda Stowe, held a silent art auction at the Olin Grange out in Olin,
mm-hmm.
To raise money. It was called Raise the Roof Art Experience, and all the funding for that went to pay off the roof that they had replaced after our really bad 07 storm.
Oh, boy.
They had the roof replaced, but they weren't able to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used all the student art.
Nice.
And held an auction there. It was terrific with activities for kids. It was fantastic.
So you said you were studying psych, but you've always been attracted to art, and obviously you've been working in art. Why? What does art do for you?
Well, more specifically in psychology, I'm very, very interested and passionate about mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that music as well as art is just one of the most powerful forms of expression. I feel like it's a really powerful tool, and I like to have that in my repertoire in the future, not only just for myself and my own creative abilities, but that knowledge for others to help them heal. And I feel really motivated by that.
I like it. What do you think about that, Dulcie?
I think it's great. I think art does a lot of things for people in ways that we don't even imagine, and that Kenny's excited about that is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree. So now, how many pieces is the show hung yet?
Yes, we have the show hung. We got, I don't even know how many pieces they brought me, but we hung a bunch of them on the wall, and they're ready for your viewing pleasure. And then we put the rest of them, because I think all of them should sell, because all of them are great pieces of art.
Mm-hmm.
We put them, kind of stack them together, and you can paw through them, if you will.
Nice.
To find maybe yours isn't on the wall. Maybe your favorite pet
mm-hmm.
Pet person to adopt is in there to paw through.
Is it cash and carry, or is it like a regular show where people
cash and carry? Yeah, baby, cash and carry.
All right, that sounds great. Because then, as a piece goes out the door, another piece can go up on the wall.
Exactly.
And and I like the way Kenny was emphasizing the fact that this is all the money stays in the community, for the animals. And, of course, well, that's another question. In addition to art being so beneficial, what do you think about animals?
Animals are immensely therapeutic. I'm a real big believer by that. Myself, I have a cat, big, fluffy, very dark furred. She's very much a therapeutic animal for me and for my other family members as well.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits are just unlimited. You have somebody who loves you unconditionally.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think it's great to also have something to take care of, you know?
Well said. Nice.
Yeah.
Good point. I do want to ask whether you really think that cats always give unconditional love. We know the dogs do, but I don't know. My cat seems to be very picky about when she offers her love. But I wonder if in this time of COVID, when there's been a lot more isolation and inability to, for example, get together and go to class, although maybe you have been able to. What's the story, Kenny? Have you been able to paint at the gallery or in class or...
Yes, we managed to keep our numbers really, really low. Like, of course, class sizes are very, very small. Mm-hmm. And we're all completely spread out from each other. And we do gather for painting, but not all classes are like that. Some are hybrid, where you'll meet on Zoom, and maybe some classes are split into shifts. So, like, if it was a Tuesday, Thursday class, class A will go on Tuesday and mm-hmm. then use the lab facilities, and then on Thursday, group B would have that.
Great.
So it's a shared experience. Mm-hmm. We are 100% being as safe as we can up there.
Yeah.
And nice. It's absolutely terrific. I know some people are all just still limited to online stuff, but I'm very grateful to have been able to go in person and... interact a little bit. It's been really nice.
Yeah, I agree. It's and it's great to be able to be flexible. Having that Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery has a lot of space, different rooms, and Kristen has managed to keep a lot of things going. As a matter of fact, as I say, she's got two shows going right now. Kenny's in both of them. Get yourselves up to the... Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery, way up at the top of 16th Street. Take a left, go as far as you can go, and get in there. And then Old Town Framing is 1287 Commercial, and it's a huge space. The gallery part is mostly, am I correct, over on the left, or is there some on the right as
yep.
well? Or
on the left? No, on the left as you walk in the door, yeah.
Okay, excellent. And... Dulcie, have you ever gotten into painting animals?
It's odd that you asked me that, Carol. During the time of COVID, as I call it, I started painting again, and in between painting the things that I really liked, I started painting weird animals, yeah. So I painted what I call the blue COVID bird of not happiness, yeah.
is that hung in the gallery or no?
Actually, I sold it before I even finished the piece, so
my goodness.
I need to, I need to make prints of it, I think.
All right,
I have never really been a painter of animals, but weird things have happened in this last year and a half. So, so I painted like a polar bear's butt and a street frog and an orange cat.
Well, that's a good question for Kenny. Are all of the paintings at Old Town Framing, are they all dogs and cats? Because that's all they... service at
yes.
the shelter, I believe.
To my knowledge, all the ones that I saw were either dogs or cats.
Right.
There's one that kind of looks like a fox, mm-hmm. but it's definitely meant to be a cat. You'll have to go there to figure out which one it is, folks.
Okay. Folks, remember, this is a benefit for the Clatsop Animal Assistance, which is a terrific volunteer organization that supports our shelter. And then The boxes, the cinnamon bun boxes up at the college are a benefit for the Oregon Food Bank. This town, as we all know, is all about volunteerism and arts-based social action, and we're all in it together. So thank you so much for doing the work, for supporting the work, and for being guests here on Arts Live and Local.
Yeah,
so
I'll expect to see everybody at Old Town Frame. It's like the only show I've done for the past 2 years. So.
Hey, how late? What are your hours, Dulcie?
Like, tomorrow, our hours are 10 to whenever you don't show up, and I get tired of standing around waiting for you.
what about today? Are you open today?
Yeah, we're open. Our hours are 11 to 4, Tuesday through Friday, and 10 to 5, typically on Saturday.
Oh, that means I can't come see the work today because I don't get off the air till 4. Darn. Maybe I'll catch you before you get out the door. Thanks so much for being here. Delcy Taylor from Old Time Framing and Kenny Schmoker, local artist of animals and boxes. Take care now.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay.
Thanks, Kenny. Bye.
And also the Paul Polson, Angie Wilt, West Coast Artisans, Vintage Hardware, Astoria Institute of Music, and Center for the Arts is featuring When Divorce. Blaine Verley's over at Paul Polson. Imogen Gallery has fabulous work by Jody Katopotis, which also sounds Greek, Twists and Turns, Making Our Maps. River Sea Gallery has the wonderful Jesse Reno, Necessary Pictures. Oregon Gypsy Gallery, Oscar DeMasi Gallery, Studio and Gallery, Cambium Gallery, right next door to AVA with Proportional. And remember the AVA, which you heard about earlier. And again, today, over on the Washington Peninsula, Long Beach Peninsula, Southwest Art Week from 5 to 10, and tomorrow noon to 10. And also check out libertyastoria.org for Sparrow Dance Company, Love is Love. And today, by the way, folks, is Plant a Flower Day. Who knew? It's also a couple of anniversaries you've been hearing about on the radio. And don't forget the AVA Deanna Antony conversation. Tomorrow is the anniversary, and Breonna Taylor, Say Her Name, 1 year protest. Southwester, we heard about an art walk. Thanks for being here. Got some music from our very own Jennifer Goodenberger celebrating the Irish holiday coming up, Lark in the Clear. Tune is Treasure of My Heart. Next week, I hope to learn a little more about Irish and Latin combination. Hopefully, Margarita will be with me. Thanks for being here, folks. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, CoastRadio.org. Monday starts the pledge drive. Hit that donate button. Stay with us through thick and thin. Take care now.